This course is really about two things. First is wireless sensor networks. And we're going to talk about how they are engineered, how they're designed. But it's also about something more general, and that is complex engineered systems. And these systems are all over the modern world, and we think they're a very important thing for engineering students to learn about. If you look at this slide here, it talks about a few, some of the things we'll cover, but some of you will be taking a course that's associated with these lectures, and others of you won't. The ones that are taking the course, you'll be able to look at a syllabus. For everyone, though, I want to emphasize two points. We really want to make this material interesting and fun, and I would like also to emphasize that this course is about a different kind of skill set for you to learn as an engineering student. And our goal in this case is to try to make sure that you can achieve your medium and long-term goals. By that I mean your short-term goal will be to go to graduate school or to get a job. But we think that this course will help equip you with the skills you need for those longer-term goals in engineering management or as a senior engineer. So this is really about system thinking. And we're going to spend the course trying to teach you about system thinking in the context of this exciting technology of wireless sensor networks. Before we get started, I want to introduce the MUSE teaching team. MUSE, if you haven't seen the website, stands for Multi-University Systems Education. And the primary developers are three professors at three universities. The first is Tom Weller, who is a professor of electrical engineering at University of South Florida in Tampa. And he is an expert in microwave and RF circuits and devices and systems. Jeff Frolick is the principal investigator of this project, which is funded by the National Science Foundation. And he is an electrical engineering professor at University of Vermont. And he is interested in sensor networks and wireless communication. My name is Paul Flickema, and I teach electrical engineering at Northern Arizona University. And my interests are primarily in wireless networks, networked systems, embedded computing systems, and application of all these to environmental monitoring. What is a complex engineered system? Well, there are many examples out there, and there are a lot of different definitions. But we can make a start by saying that they are systems that consist of subsystems that interact. So we can think of a system that has many different components at many different levels that interact with each other. So let me start by giving you an example. A good example is a modern automobile. And of course, the first thing we can think of is what we look at, and that would be the chassis and the body system. Second would be the propulsion system, including the engine, braking, we have to slow it down, vehicle control, and this includes the basic handling, the suspension, as well as any electronic aids such as electronic stability control. We have the human interface and the interior. This is going to include the steering wheel, the brake pedal, the accelerator, etc. Environmental control. This would be the heating and air conditioning. And these days we have navigation and media. All these things come in to play in building a modern car. And you can see each one of them is fairly complex. Let's take the propulsion system and break it down and see what's involved there. Let's take an overview of a car. We're going to look from the top. And the first thing we probably think of is the engine. That provides the power to make the car move. What are the other components of the propulsion system? Well, obviously, we need a transmission. And that connects the engine to a drivetrain. Drive shaft, I should say, which is part of the drivetrain. And here we have a differential, we have axles, and we have wheels and tires. Now, of course, this could be much more complicated. We may have a four-wheel drive engine, a four-wheel drive system where the power would come back through, and there would be half shafts at the front that would then connect also to the front wheels. So we can see even just this one subsystem, the propulsion system, is very complex. We can keep breaking this down. Let's think about the engine. What are the subsystems of the engine itself? First of all, we need a fuel system. How to get the fuel into the combustion chambers. We need an ignition system to ignite the fuel-air mixture at just the right time. We need lubrication to keep all the moving parts moving for a long period of time so you have a reliable, long-lasting vehicle. There's also a cooling system that helps the lubrication system do its job. It takes care of the excess heat, the inefficiency of the engine. Also, we've seen a lot of development in the last 30, 40 years on emission control in modern engines. And finally, there's an exhaust system. Okay, so this is great. Now we've broken up the propulsion system, and we've been looking at the engine here. And within the engine, of course, we can even go farther. We can look at something like the valve train. And there are many engineers that work their entire careers on just the valve train. And in particular, in the last few years, there's just been a real revolution in valve train technology, in part because we have a lot of ways to improve the efficiency engines using things like variable valve timing and variable valve control, including the amount of valve lift into the combustion chamber. And the interesting thing is that the valve train is connected now to the rest of the car, such as the throttle, the speed of the vehicle, the current speed of the engine, etc., etc. This is an example of an interconnected system to gain efficiency, response time, and even improve safety. Here is a model of a complex engineered system. Question is, what is it trying to model? We see boxes connected by lines, some dashed, some solid, and so maybe it's a computer network. Or maybe it's an intercity transportation network. Well, part of it is transportation, but this is a model of a biomolecular network. And the key idea here is that molecules are represented by the boxes. For example, here or here. And the lines represent interactions between those boxes. So we see a general theme here. We have entities here that represented as boxes, which stand for molecules, and their interactions, which are basically defined by the lines that connect them. Now, this is a biomolecular network in a cell. And so there's also transportation modeled here, and that's why we see the dotted lines. And this is transportation between the outside of the nucleus of a cell and the inside of the nucleus of a cell where the DNA is located. And this network is representative of something that's very important in what we will learn about complex engineered systems, and that is this idea of a layered representation. It is a specific biomolecular network that occurs in all human cells. It is called the TGF-beta signaling network, or signaling cascade it's called. And it's of particular interest to biologists because it is implicated in many human cancers. So we know that molecules are not boxes. We know that they're much more complicated than that. But this diagram helps us understand them at a particular level. So we see here molecules indicated by the boxes, but we don't, for example, see individual electrons or even binding sites of those molecules. At the same time, we aren't seeing the tissue that this is part of or even the organ that it might be part of. So you can see already we have this idea of layering. We have a layered model here that helps us understand this at the right level for which we'd like to understand how the actual system works. And we'll talk about this more in the next slide. We have these complex systems. How do we grasp them? How do we understand how to design them? We have to be able to somehow come up with ways to manage the understanding of all the bits and pieces at all the different levels that make these work. So as I alluded to just in the previous slide, we're going to use a layered approach in much of our thinking. And the goal is to try to partition the understanding so all the people on a project don't have to know everything about it. This idea of partitioning also makes the system more robust and more evolvable. The idea is you can plug in new capabilities at a layer and not clobber the entire system because the other layers above and below it will remain working. So the idea is, suppose that we have a particular layer of our system. And we'll call this layer N. So this is maybe something, if you want to think about the previous slide, maybe it's about the molecule that we're dealing with. Okay? Well, layer N minus 1 lies below it. And now we have a nice situation here where we can think about, we have these layers. Each is going to be specified, and we're going to have some kind of way of dealing with the interfaces that bind these layers. So again, if we think about the previous example, maybe here we're dealing with molecules, and here we're dealing with atoms. Okay, and maybe an upper layer would be a part of a cell, part of a cell signaling network, something like that. So you can look at different layers and work in that area, and maybe if you do it right, the idea is that you minimize the messiness of interacting with other layers. And we'll be talking about that throughout the course, and we'll talk about things in more detail in the next slide when we give an example. We've seen two examples of complex engineered systems so far. Here is a diagram of three views of the model for networking protocols. And we see them right here. We have the OSI model, the DARPA model, and the TCP/IP model. And some of these boxes are familiar to you. At the high level, we see FTP and HTTP, very, very commonplace. And we also see some familiar things at the lowest layer, Ethernet, wireless, And on the left, we have the indication of what these are. So at the lowest level, we have the physical layer. At the highest level, we have the application layer. And in between, we have these other layers here, which are used very often in talking about networks. And this is important for all networked systems, and in particular for wirelessly networked systems. So let's talk a little bit about this layering thing. We see four layers for sure, and in fact, you can see that in practice, you actually can think of this as having more layers than just four. But the key idea here is modularity. In the middle, for example, we have TCP, which sits on top of IP. And this is a core to the internet. But it's possible that we could replace IP with another protocol, for example, IPv6, which is a new one, and do that without breaking the design of either the layer above, which would be TCP, or below, which could be, for example, 802.11 or wired Ethernet. And so this is another theme of layered design. The idea is you have this notion of modularity, and that allows you to plug in new designs that correspond to, that have the interfaces corresponding to the higher layer and lower layer, so that you don't have to redesign the entire stack as a result of the change of just one layer. So this modularity is very useful to partition the design so that you can have different teams working on different aspects, and it also makes the design evolvable.